The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. You are listening to the Odyssey Files here on Monday night at 7 p.m. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. Not with me yet is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering, who is stuck in traffic because it's Minnesota and it's low 40s and rainy and everybody thinks there's ice on the road. So, there you go. There's your weather report for today. So I'm by myself for, the present time. But it's a good thing that I know pretty much everything. There are no experts in this field. I know a lot about the topic that we're going to be discussing tonight, hopefully as soon as he gets on. And that is equipment. It's something that we've been wanting to do for a long time, but we wanted the people who make equipment, which we do not, on with us. But we were waiting for a really great guest tonight who was not allowed, or not, I should say not allowed, was not able to join us. So chances are he will be hopefully in 2 weeks. Because next week we have the phenomenal Elizabeth Saint hopefully with us. She had to set two reminders to make sure she was going to remember to be on. She's a little busy right now. I guess I'm just going to kind of hop right into it. So basically what we want to do is, or what I want to do and what Dave will join me with when he gets here, is kind of the do's and don'ts, or the pros and cons of each piece of equipment, especially the ones that we use. Before I get into that, Dave's on. So you're probably going to have to hear the Skype call, because I updated my Skype this weekend, which I probably should not have done. But we'll see if it works. Here's fingers crossed for us. Wow, that is annoying. I am so thankful you answered that as fast as you did. Because from what I understand, everybody has to hear the Skype sound. On the show, and so yeah.
Hello.
So anyway, I did the introduction.
Okay.
I said you weren't here. I said why you weren't here because this is Minnesota, and I pretty much just told everyone what we're going to be talking about tonight, which is like the pros and cons of equipment.
Sweet.
And also I have a couple clips of pieces of equipment that. In use from pretty much one certain case. So there's that. So I have that for you. All of which I do not believe Dave is going to be able to see or hear. Sorry about that.
Nope, I won't be able to do anything, but you just wave at me and I'll be like, yeah, that rocked.
Well, yeah, but this is a case you were at, and I chose at least two pieces of the sessions you were in. So they are good. I would not show them to our listeners or let our listeners hear them if they weren't good. So I think we should start off by the basic I don't want to say the basic necessity of any investigator, but the probably the piece of equipment everybody has, and that is obviously the K2 meter.
Oh, I thought for sure you were going to say the ovulus.
No, no. In fact, I wasn't going to talk about that at all.
I figured it's not.
In fact, let me get that out of the way. The ovulus sucks. Don't use it. It's terrible. There.
But you know what it is good at, though? It's great at promoting stories that don't exist from team members who like to put puzzle pieces together, and I proved that on an investigation once.
Yes. That is the main con, besides it being very expensive. Yeah. The Ovilus 5, I think, goes for like $345 or something like that. Paranormal equipment is not cheap. Let me just say that right now. It is not cheap.
No.
Yeah, it's basically my huge problem with it is it just spits out words that really, in my opinion, don't mean anything to the investigation, but everybody likes to create connections to it. And when I mean create out of thin air. You know, we could be at a theater and the word flowers would come over. It means nothing to the theater, but they'd be like, did you throw flowers onto the stage? Right. No, stop that.
Right. That's the beauty of it, though. It like it has its own life. Someday that piece of equipment is going to be like a poltergeist. It's going to create its own entity because everybody pumps so much energy into it. You're going to get an ovulus and it's just going to be alive.
Yeah, it's just wow. I just really do not like the ovulus. In fact, the first year we were at Paracon, somebody I think foolishly offered me $150 for my ovulus 3, and I couldn't get rid of it fast enough.
Yep.
I was more excited about the empty space in my equipment case than I was about ever having that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like my boat. Anytime I mention to a boat owner that I want to have a boat, they say there's going to be two of your happiest days with your boats are the day you get it and the day you get rid of it.
Yeah, the day you sell it. Yep.
The day you sell
it. Day you buy it, the day you sell it. Two happiest days of your lives being a boat owner.
Yeah. So that's my ovulus. My ovulus is my boat. My happiest day was buying it because I was all excited. I was brand new in the field. I had a $350 ovulus. I was so proud of myself, and I couldn't wait to get rid of it at the end.
You know, and conceptually, I love the idea behind it. I just don't think that it's capable of doing what they wanted it to do. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, no, you know, I agree. But you know, you see it in Ghost Adventures all the time.
Yeah,
every once in a while, it comes up with a word that actually is relevant.
Yep.
But the 95% it doesn't to the 5% it does is something that you could do with a recorder.
And it's so hard to discern what is relevant and what isn't relevant if you're at a location that you don't have all the history of.
That's true.
You know, and so you're not sure. You're like, well, I don't know. Is that something important? You know, so you're kind of trying to figure, you know, it's just, yeah. No, I agree with you. I think the thing in theory, I think it's great, but no, I wouldn't own one.
No. So done with the ovulus.
Yeah. Moving on.
To the K2, because that is something that we use every investigation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I own two. And it's so simplistic. It really is. And it is actually probably the cheapest piece of equipment you will be able to find.
And you're going to use it all the time. All the time.
So obviously the pros of that are, you know, it reads EMF. You can put it up to a refrigerator, a microwave, and it will light up to orange. Use the different colors from yellow. Was it yellow, green, orange, red?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it goes green. It's like a stoplight. So green, yellow, orange, red. Yep.
Okay. All right. I can never remember which one if people consider that yellow or green where it starts out. The problem with it is, and I think a lot of people are coming to understand this, is cell phones. That kind of thing can set it off. So if you just turn your cell phone on silent and not on airplane mode or off, you're probably going to get you're going to have it out right next to your pocket, and your phone's going to try to have a notification or a Facebook post or something.
Right.
And it's going to set your K2 off.
Right.
There was a woman named Angie who was at Paracon this past year, and I had met her the year prior. And so we were having a conversation about investigation and stuff like that at the bar, because that's bar talk. But she said that even if your cell phone is on airplane mode, if it tries to do like a game update or something, that it will still set your K2 off, which I didn't think was possible, because I thought everything was dealing with signal. And if your signal is off, then it shouldn't be able to let you shouldn't make your K2 go off.
I would agree with that, because we've been in situations where we have turned them off and then we haven't had any type of K2 hits for hours. And I would think that between three of our phones or four of our phones or five of our phones, whatever, they would be, you know what I mean? They would be trying, somebody's would be trying to update and setting off the K2. And I've never seen it set off once we have it in airplane mode. So
I haven't tested it, because I was actually going to at some point in time, because I have the one with the alarm. One of them has the alarm on, so I could just set it and not really pay much attention to it. But if I hear it, then I'll know. But I thought about maybe setting my phone in airplane mode, putting it next to the K2, and just letting it sit there for a bit to see if that's actually the case, or just trying to trying to make it update while in airplane mode to see if that's possible. It'd be an interesting experiment to try, but to see if she's right. But that is the big downfall for the K2. Its sensitivity, I guess the EMF would probably be it. Supposedly the Rook, which you can find at GhostStop.com, they made it. It's supposed to be a more shielded K2. It's supposed to get rid of those false readings and whatnot. I mean, and it definitely does work, but there are times where it'll just sit there and blink and you don't know why it's doing it, because it won't react to anything you're doing.
Right.
So I use it sparingly, I guess. Maybe it's just not sensitive enough, maybe.
Right.
If I might say that. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, but here's what I love about the K2 is you can walk into a house and somebody says, you know, I have these really odd feelings when I'm in bed. You know, like I'm experiencing being held down, you know, and so immediately we think of sleep paralysis before we jump to any type of like, you know, oppression type of thing. And it's great if you can walk into that space and you can map out where like a junction box is coming into the house through the wall. And then you can see if there's like something that's unshielded. And so all of a sudden you get this great big EMF field right where the head of the bed is, you know, and it's great. It's a great tool for debunking as well as a great communication tool, because we have used it many, many times for like yes and no questions. You know, can you make it light all the way up to red? You know, you might think that there's something there. So you get like a couple of hits to yellow, maybe it peaks in orange. And so you start doing a yes and no session, or you start asking some questions and you say, you know, a typical question would be for us, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm not sure if you really, if somebody's here with us, but if somebody is here and you'd like to communicate using this, can you make this spike to red? And without anything else in the room changing, except for that question, we've gotten hits all the way up to red. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a wonderful tool for that too.
Yes. And you can use it to find problems. I remember one case in the basement, you know, did it along the wall looking for maybe bad wiring, you know, high EMF coming out of the wall, and got to a light switch or
light
whatever,
socket.
And
it was a light socket overhead.
No, you weren't there for this one.
Oh, I was thinking of the one we did in Detroit Lakes, because remember that room when I went down? I mean, that thing was a fear cage, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That thing was exploding. So,
No. This was a private home down in Winona.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Winona, but that's okay. It's not important where it was.
In Minnesota.
Yeah, it's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But no, I got to a light switch and it pegged it all the way up to red. I mean, just constant. And it pretty much just dealt with, bad wiring.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But I mean, not only can it help, disprove or prove a natural explanation for something, but I mean, that's a potential fire hazard. I mean, absolutely. If that thing were to short out, that wall's going up.
Right.
It helps in a lot of different ways, and it's only if you want the one with an alarm, it's like $75. If you want one without, it's like $60-$65 for a K2.
Spend the extra $10 to get the alarm.
I agree.
Highly recommended. Yep.
So I like to move on to the REM pod, because the REM pod, as much as it does not go off for me in any way, shape, or form, it has, on occasion, I don't want to say scared the crap out of me just because of where it was and what I was doing at the time, but definitely startling.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know what the REM pod is, and anybody that follows any show or the paranormal at all will pretty much know what it is. It's just this little circular box thing. With an antenna sticking out of it and a bunch of different colored lights. And it puts off an EM field that, when breached, triggers an alarm. It's a proximity alarm. Oh, that's my... It's a proximity alarm.
Yep.
And, sorry, so investigatively of me. You create a noise. That's me! That's me! Painting myself.
Yep.
Nothing paranormal about that.
No, nope.
But it's really weird. Because I'll go 2-3 investigations and it won't do a thing. And then all of a sudden, on case 4 or 5, it'll like go nuts. Or it'll go off like once, but nobody's around it. Like yep. There's no reason for it. The thing I was thinking about earlier. And I do have a clip of a session Dave and I did at the investigation that that pretty much all these clips are from. But we were at Farrar, and we put the REM pod while we slept in the gym.
Yep.
And the doorway to the boiler room is in the gym. And one of the claims or whatever was there was this nasty negative entity that resided in the boiler room. So we put the REM pod right in the doorway from into the boiler room and the gym. And we all went to sleep.
Yep.
And then, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, beep. Oh no. And I know Josie likes to tell that story because it scared the living crap out of her.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. I was a little nervous because I'm like, what is going on?
Yep.
I'm like, let me move to the other side of Dave because then we'll take him first. Not because I needed not because I needed you to protect me, because I wanted him to get you first.
Yep. That was fine. Yep.
But nothing happened. Nobody got attacked or whatever. But it was still a little freaky that nobody was in 30, 40 feet of this thing for hours. And well, I should say hours, at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then,
And that's what it's great for. It's great as to put in a doorway. So you put it right in the threshold. Nothing is getting by that bad boy unless it breaks the field. And so that's a great piece of – it's a great – if they weren't so expensive, you'd own 10 of them and just stack them throughout the house in every threshold. You know, and that's that would be ideal instead of trying to pick the right threshold to put it at.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. So basically, they're when they first came out, they're like $150, which is not a bad price. But now they're up to they've added like temperature, which you really don't want to use.
No, and you don't need it.
No, you really don't.
Not for that piece of equipment. You don't need that at all.
And the thing about it is it's so sensitive that all it does is go off just constantly, constantly. You're never going to have a moment of peace if you turn on the temperature. I used it, I think, twice when I first bought it. I haven't used it since. And that was, you know, like 3 years ago. Yeah, now they're like 200, but I'm with you. Like I have this dream. I have a really big case right now that has my one REM pod that I use and the full spectrum rover. And I have this wonderful dream of opening up this big case and it being like one of those plutonium things where it's just six REM pods sitting there. Right. I can just, you know, pick out the little cylinder and start putting them all over the house. But yeah, that would cost a lot of money that I don't have.
Yeah. Agreed. So it would be cool though. It would be very cool. Yeah,
I agree. So I'm going to play this clip. And this is, from this investigation that Dave and I were at, and we're down in the basement of this historical location, and we had just turned the REM pod on, and it went nuts, like right from the beginning. So we started asking questions, hoping that we would get responses, and this is kind of what happened.
So I'll take that as a no.
Fair enough.
Okay. Is there a reason why you won't do that? Can you tell me why you won't make it light up? Okay. Should I take that as a no too?
Yeah. So, and it did that for like 10 minutes before we finally just shut it off. the great thing about that has never happened before, that happened at this location. We did a big session in that room. Then we went to the other side of that floor into what they call the tunnel and turned it back on, went nuts again and died. Battery completely gone. The thing is I put a brand new battery before we went down there. So 20 minutes into this session, battery's dead. We went upstairs after that session. I put in another fresh battery. We went into a room on that floor, turned it back on, started going nuts again. And within 10 minutes, the battery was dead again.
Yeah, maximum. Yeah.
And
it really went fast on that upstairs room.
Yes. Yes, it did. And then we put another new battery in.
Yep.
Went up to the second floor and never went off the whole rest of the night.
Nope. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say never went off again. And we were looking for every plausible, like, is there a spider web? Did something, like maybe, you know, a piece of dust or a big piece of dust got caught on it. So we were like trying to clean the antenna off. We were looking at it. We were holding it up, turning it around. Whatever was there loved that piece of equipment.
Yes. The thing is that I've turned it on. I've been to this place, just following up and checking up, twice since the original investigation. I always have the REM pod and I've even done it in that room, that it went nuts, the second time. Nothing. Never went off again. Nothing. Has never gone off again.
No.
So don't know what to make of it.
Well, here's the interesting thing, too, because we were downstairs. We actually said, hey, you know what? We're going to head upstairs and put a fresh battery in there. If you'd like to come upstairs with us, and, you know, hang out for a little while longer, you're more than welcome to. So we went upstairs, not thinking much of it, sat down in that room, put the fresh battery in. As soon as you turned it on, wham, there it went again until it died. I mean, it just did not stop until it just died.
Yeah, and we didn't invite it the whole rest of the night.
No, we did not. And that's the funny thing about it, because we never said, hey, you're welcome to come up to the next floor with us, because we were like, well, I mean, it's great that you really, really love this piece of equipment, but you're killing the thing in like 7 minutes. You know, we got to get a little bit of investigating in here.
Yeah, pretty
much. We can't just be running around changing batteries every 7 minutes.
So the next piece of equipment is probably the most important, I would think. And Dave, you can give your opinion on it, but obviously a digital recorder.
Absolutely, 100%.
If
you own anything, that is the piece of equipment you take with you every single time you go to an investigation.
Yeah, because camcorders are great. They really, really are. But video, the audio to video evidence ratio is, you know, 100 to 1, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even more. I may be downplaying it a little bit. You're going to get far, far more evidence with a recorder than you are with video.
Yep.
Even though video is probably going to blow people's mind. I mean, if that's what you're after, get a camcorder. But if you're after serious evidence and trying to figure out what's going on and actually want to find out the answers to your questions, you're going to need a digital recorder.
Yep.
The one that I use, I have, well, really three different kind. I have the Ghost Arc, which never use. It's a terrible, terrible piece of equipment. I don't want to get into it past that. But I have the Zoom mic.
Like the Zoom. Yep.
Yeah. The Zoom's expensive. You know, right now it's probably $150 to $200 on Amazon. But the thing is the quality of the audio is phenomenal.
It's built really, really well.
Yes. If you get an EVP off a Zoom mic, it's there.
Yeah.
there's no like, oh, maybe you're just rustling your jeans. You know, there's none of that. There's not like, I think if it captures anything, it's going to be like a Class B or better.
Right. I would agree. Yep.
The other one that I use, and I have five of them because I absolutely love them. It's made by Ovilus. It's the WS-802. The only thing is Ovilus is discontinued.
Olympus there, buddy. You got Ovilus on the mind.
Ovilus. Oh.
Twice you said it.
Sorry. My deepest sympathies, or sincerest apologies is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Ah, you're right. Olympus makes these, not Ovilus. Olympus makes these, and they discontinued them. But, you know, beyond having, I think, like 5 gigabyte storage, which is astronomical.
It's a ton, yeah.
Yeah, they have live listening, so you can actually hear as it's recording what it's recording.
Right.
But the one thing that I love about it most is the fact that the USB that connects it to the computer is part of the recorder. All you do is slide it out, put it in the computer, and you're done. There's no cord. There's no nothing. I really, really like that. The only problem is that now that it's been discontinued, it's almost like a collector's item. So when I first bought them, they're like $80. Now I think the cheapest one I've been able to find is like $200. It's crazy. I'd probably still buy one though. I really, really like the WS-802. Say whatever it is. But the one thing that I think most people don't do, I have seen some teams do it, is, you know, and I got this from you guys, you know, you and Steve, when I first joined you guys on Moondance.
Yep. Way back when.
They had little miniature microphones.
Yep.
Connected to the recorders. And that has made a humongous difference, in my opinion.
Yep.
On the quality and the amount of evidence and EVPs that we get. And the clarity of it as well. You know, if you just want to go buy a recorder and turn it on and have it do whatever. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think you're not going to get the quality or the quantity, for that matter, if you don't amplify it, I guess you could say, with you know, these little miniature microphones. And they're not cheap either. You know, they're like $30 each, something like that. I mean, so, I mean, if you want to get like a really good recorder, like a Zoom, well, the Zoom doesn't need the extra mic.
No, but, not at all, because they've got, their mics are huge, and yeah, they place them opposite. So they both kind of, I mean, they make a, they actually like have like a gigantic circle that they are full stereo effect. That's, they're a beautiful, they're a beautiful piece of equipment. Yes. No doubt about it. So
the only bad thing about the Zoom,
size
is, well, size. Yes. I mean, obviously it can still fit in your hand, but it's going to take your entire hand.
Right. Or you can't like just slip it in your pocket. Like you can those little Olympus. You can put four of those in your pocket and go walk somewhere and set them out. You can't put four Zooms in your pocket. Ain't going to happen.
No, no. And the other thing is it takes two AA batteries, but these two AA batteries will only last probably 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then they're dead.
Yeah.
It really, really sucks battery power. So just be aware of that. And you need an SD card. It will not work without an SD card. The Zoom right. won't. So that's more money. So you're at $150 for the right. recorder, another, you know, $30, $40, $50, depending on the size of the SD card for that. So yeah, it's, there's money. There's money in the paranormal.
Yeah, there is.
This clip that I want to play is from our digital recorder. It's from the Annex. Dave and I went, well, Dave more than me, but went a little nuts when one of our investigators got potentially scratched.
Yeah.
And so we went in to try and figure out what it was doing.
Basically, yeah. who it was and why they did it.
Right. So this EVP was caught during that session as a direct, I think, message to you, probably.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to play it hopefully a few times, and we'll see if you can get it. We'll be right back. Okay, well, at least I got to play it twice. No, it did play, but I forgot about one thing specifically is my hard drive, external hard drive, where all our evidence is. If it sits for a while, it just kind of goes into like sleep mode.
Oh, sure, yep.
And then when you try to use it, it has to boot itself back up.
Yep.
And so, so when I hit to play this thing, it went right into my heart. And yeah, it sat there and had to get spin
for
again.
Yeah, but, a little yeah. spin for a couple seconds.
So I don't. That to me sounded a little light. I apologize, you weren't able to hear it. But basically, it's that a male voice saying, "Oh, David, here we go." So
yep.
So yeah. To move on.
and I wasn't even provoking in that situation. I was just going in there as kind of like with a protective type of vibe. You know, I was more like, what's going on? We already set our piece at the beginning of the investigation. We already established that we weren't here to harm you or to evict you or anything like that, like we always do, you know, and that in return, you know, you're not allowed to harm any of us. And so I just kind of went in there, tried not to be aggressive as best as I could have. So, but I wasn't that aggressive. I mean, Mike was there. He's seen me be aggressive. I've been aggressive, but I was not that aggressive there.
There were a few F-bombs.
Well, an F-bomb for me isn't being aggressive. That's just me not being happy.
That's just my vocabulary.
That's just how I roll sometimes when I'm upset. So the F-bombs drop. You know what happens?
And do I do?
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm not. I'm not a stranger to it myself.
No.
I don't typically do it during investigations unless I'm startled and I'm like, what the F is that? You know, that kind of thing. But, but it, in that instance, even though, I don't like to get that aggressive, and I know you do, which is why I let you just kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty justified.
I think so.
So, we're going to go to break, and then we're going to be back, and just, we have two more pieces of equipment that I definitely want to touch base on, and then I'll probably do some notable mentions, kind of thing.
Sweet.
So, yeah, we'll have to speed through them.
That's fine.
So, all right, we'll be back. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
All the shit on the coin. You think it's you listening to the words of Para-X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line?
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Saint, and you're listening to Mike and Dave, my fourth favorite paranormal radio show, guys. Duo? Guys. Whatever, it doesn't matter. They're moving up in the ladder. And I love you.
Oh, and I love you too, Elizabeth. She will be our guest next week, hopefully. I just know it's going to be... I hope she's not in the graveyard again. I don't know, ambiance, I guess.
So, yeah, maybe. Yep.
All right. So, we're talking about equipment here on the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I'm supposed to mention a bunch of times. The one thing that next piece of equipment I want to get to was I can say was now because I have one, but always has been, and I think every investigation team has this on their mind, is a FLIR, FLIR thermal camera. I hope you know what those are, because I know a lot of people know like what a REM pod is, the K2 is obviously a digital recorder. A DVR. Not a lot of people know what a FLIR is.
Yeah. I mean, we did right away.
Well, of course.
But it was on the wish list for many years.
Right. And here's the reason why. They're expensive.
Boy, probably the most money you're probably going to spend on a piece of, like, equipment that you're going to take into an investigation.
Yeah. Oh, by
hands down. Yeah.
They've made them cheaper, but when you get cheap, you get what you pay for.
Right.
You know, they have FLIRs as cheap as $400. It's like the TG-165 or something like that, I think is what they call it. And they go all the way up to like $50,000.
Yeah.
Retail. Obviously they have like military contracts and stuff like that for millions, but for normal consumer retail prices, they go anywhere from like $400 to $50,000. And the thing about the $400 one, and this is what you need to know about the FLIR, since it's season temperature, it doesn't need light, it doesn't need IR, it doesn't need anything. It's season temperature.
Yep.
So it'll work the same in daylight as it will in complete darkness.
Yep.
And obviously the theory behind the paranormal is that as spirits move and whatever, they create temperature differences. And that's what the FLIR is able to pick up. And when you get the really, really cheap one, the quality of the video that you see on this little tiny screen is not very good at all. Everything is blurry, and it doesn't do video. It only does photos.
Yeah.
That's it. And I think if anybody that watches any of the shows knows that any sort of apparition is not on the screen for very much longer than you're able to like realize that it's there.
Right.
So by the time you click the trigger or whatever to take a photo, it's probably going to be gone. The thing that struck me, and I was just telling the story a couple weeks ago, is I remember Fact or Faked. They went to the Queen Mary because they had a video of what looked like a figure standing in the middle of a hallway.
Yep.
It was very cold. And it almost looked like it had a trail out from underneath one of these doors. And it was kind of like this cloud shape that was standing in the middle of the hallway. And they wanted to try and debunk it. And they tried fog machines and, you know, stuff like that. But they couldn't. And then they got a really nice FLIR. They got one of high quality. And they pointed down the hallway and they realized that at the very, very opposite end of this hallway was a doorway.
Yep.
And that's what this other team's FLIR was catching. But because it was so blurry and not high quality, it made it look like it was all the way up and standing in the middle of the hallway. It wasn't a figure at all. It was just catching this doorway all the way at the other end of the hallway. So it was completely, obviously, disproven. And I decided then I wasn't going to go cheap. If I was going to get a FLIR, it was going to be high quality. And I must have looked three times a week for like a year, just trying to find a FLIR on eBay that I might be able to afford. And it had to have video option. So right there, you're looking at the E40 and better. And the E40 retails roughly about $5,000. But if you can get it used, you know, you might get a pretty good deal. I was actually able, after searching far and wide, was actually able to find somebody who was offering a E60, which is the best of the E series, I guess you could say. Retails between $7,000 and $8,000, and he had it, I think he had it for to buy now for like $3,000 and or best offer. And I sent him a message and I said, I'm a paranormal investigator. I'm like, I really have wanted one of these forever. and I'm like, I can offer you $2,000. It's the best that I can do. I'm like, I completely understand if you can't accept that. And he accepted it. And it was actually really cool because he sent me a message saying that he was really excited that this was going to a paranormal investigator and that he hoped that they could see some of the evidence that their FLIR that they had sold me would be on the website. So I thought that was really cool of him. But yeah, so even getting like a major discount, it was still $2,000.
Yeah.
For this. And I have loved it ever since. It is a little distracting.
Yep.
So I don't typically use it anymore. I let everybody else use it. But I will break it out from time to time for at least a little while. It did catch the greatest piece of evidence I have that any, I don't want to say any team I've been on. And I think you can agree.
Oh, yeah. More than that. It's bigger than that. Right. Because you got to take a look at, I mean, people, and we're not going to drop names, but people that are big in the paranormal world on TV, we showed it to them.
Yes.
And they were impressed with it, thoroughly impressed with it.
Yeah.
And we even have one individual who put it through all kinds of tests and still, and was like, yeah, I'm throwing this thing through the meat grinder, and don't get mad at me if I shred it to pieces. And we're like, no, go ahead. Cause if it needs to be shredded, shred it, because we don't want to stand behind it and have it be junk.
No.
He threw it through the meat grinder, and he looked at, came back and said, you know what? That's one hell of a piece of evidence.
I still can't explain it.
Right. So it's a great piece.
And if you want to see it, obviously it's video, so I can't play it here. You can go on our YouTube page. Just, I guess, go on YouTube and do a search for Odyssey Paranormal Society. All of our videos will come up, including the Paranormal Project. And look for the anomaly. And it's pretty much, in my opinion, it's a fairy. It's
something unique, no doubt about it.
Because you can see the figure, you can see the it looks like it's wearing a hood,
yep.
And on its frickin' back, it looks like it has wings.
Yep, like little tiny dragon wings.
Yep. So go and take a look at it. Like I said, you can also find it on our Facebook page too, Odyssey Paranormal Society's Facebook page. But go and check it out. It's there for viewing, and I think it's absolutely phenomenal. It's mind blowing in my instance. So I mean, it's just one of those things where if you're going to get a FLIR, get one of quality, because otherwise you're wasting your money.
Yep.
In fact, Scott was given one of the $400 FLIRs.
Yeah.
he's like, it's absolutely junk. He said, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he's like, I couldn't tell my TV from a doorway or something like that.
Yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you want the prestige of having a FLIR, buy a $400 FLIR. Yay.
But don't take it out in the field.
No.
No.
But if you actually want it for quality, go on eBay. People are selling them like mad. And see if you can get a good price on one. Make an offer. See if somebody will take you up on it. So I'm going to go through a couple mentions here, just really quick, before we get into the spirit box, which is the last piece of equipment I want to talk about. The SLS Kinect Cam, very, very popular on Ghost Adventures. Retails at $1,275. I have one. I no longer use it. And that is because it will put a stick figure on anything. It will put a stick figure on a lamp. It will put a stick figure on a doorway. I have watched some episodes of Ghost Adventures where this little figure will show up on Aaron's shoulder, and they'll be like, oh my God, there's a little figure on your shoulder. There's a lamp behind him, or there's the lamp hanging on the wall. It's putting a stick figure on that. They're misrepresenting evidence. And it needs to be very, very highly scrutinized. You need to watch it. I had a guy at Paracon come up to me and show me video. He made one. And I pretty much debunked all of it. But he was like, oh, I'm going to go get a second opinion. So he didn't want to hear it. But if you have one, if you have the chance to have one, they're cool, but be very, very wary of what you're looking at and what to put a stick figure on.
Okay. And put it on a tripod, because they're not meant to be walked around with.
Yes, that actually came from Bill Chappell himself, who designed it,
right.
I didn't know.
They're a static piece of equipment, so.
Yeah, I don't think they make that very known.
Like, I don't
know that.
No, all right, exactly. And it has this really cool grip handle that fits your hand beautifully. And so you walk around with it, because it's like, yeah, well, of course you're supposed to walk around with it. That's why it fits your hand so nicely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good call on that one. I didn't think about that. The full spectrum night vision rover, really cool piece of equipment to have, not very good in the field. It's got a lot of great little nooks and crannies. It's only like $150 at GoStop. It's really a great price for what it is. You can connect with your phone or tablet. I mean, so you don't need like this big bulky remote control. It's got a camera, a very, very nice camera that will stream back what it's seen to your phone. So you don't even have to be in the room. It records audio, records video. You can talk through it. It's got an intercom system, so you can talk through your phone and it'll come out the rover. It's great. The only problem is the IR lights are so horrible. You can see about 5 feet.
Yeah.
And even then it's iffy since it's so close to the floor. During the day, they're wonderful. I mean, like I said, their camera's beautiful. At night, when most people do their investigations, not so much. Not to mention, it's very, very loud when you move it.
Yeah. But it is the bomb squad piece of equipment for the paranormal investigating. So,
good call. I didn't think of it like that. Yes.
Yeah.
It is the bomb squad robot.
Yep.
That every paranormal team needs. if you think that there is a demon in a room,
right,
you send in the rover.
Yep. Yep. And then when you see him standing there, you back the rover out, you pack up your stuff, and you head out.
Yep. You apologize for intruding.
Yep.
And you back it up.
Yep.
Do you have any mentions that you'd like to, real quick?
No, we can get right to the SB7 because we only got 8 minutes left.
Yes, we do. All right. SB7, SB11. You know, you have one or the other. Actually, there's one more now that GoStop has put out. So I said this before, everything seems to be developing around the SB Spirit Box system. That seems to be like the go-to device. There are teams that's all they do is they go in, they turn on the Spirit Box. They have 2 hours of Spirit Box and different places around that location, and they call it a night. A 4-year-old can do it. I wouldn't recommend a 4-year-old do it, but a 4-year-old can do it. It doesn't take much effort.
No.
I like it at the end of the night because, one, it's very hard to understand unless they can speak very clearly to you. And because it's so hard to understand, if you miss, it's almost like the ovulus. If you misinterpret an answer, it's going to influence all the questions after that.
Yes, it will.
Yep. If you ask a yes or no question, you think it says no, but all it says is bleep, you know, and that's it. It's just a bleep. But you think you have no, then you're going to think the answer is no, and all your questions after that is going to be based on the fact that you thought they said no.
Right.
So if you think you hear a name, but it's really not, and trust me, we have. Dave and I, when we first got together as teammates, he would kick me out of the room because he'd be like, I hear it say, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I think I hear it say garbage truck.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, you know, it has to be the word truck because everything with you had the word truck in it. No, I think I hear like step truck. I'm like, get out of the room. It doesn't say anything about step truck. It said, it just said, I'm going to kill them.
So I'm still not a pro at it. I still struggle.
It's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so I use it at the end of the night just to see how they thought the investigation went, if they have anything else they want to say that we can listen to right away. And if it's a private case, you know, do they understand why we're there and what needs to happen now? Because even if you misunderstand something, your investigation is done, pretty much.
Right.
It can't influence you anymore. That's just my take on it. But there's a couple clips that I want to play here from the same case we've been playing all night of two two Spirit Box sessions or two Spirit Box clips that came that I thought were very, very clear. This first one had to do with our client had told us a whole bunch of names of spirits she was told were in this location. But in our historical research, we found none of these names. So I'm asking if they just had the wrong names. And we got an answer and then a confirmation right afterwards. So I'll play it a few times and we'll be right back.
Can you tell me if they just got the names completely wrong or if those spirits... What?
Haunted, yeah.
They got the names just completely wrong? Can you tell me if they just got the names completely wrong or if those spirits... What?
Haunted, yeah.
They got the names just completely wrong?
I do like that one. Second one is at the end of that session. I'm saying thank you for everything for them giving us whatever answers they gave, and the response was there.
Hopefully, upon review, I'll be able to pick out what you said. But thank you. Hopefully, upon review, I'll be able to pick out what you said. But thank you.
I hope everybody heard the "you're welcome." That first blow, bah, 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 yeah, that was nothing. that's ways you can use the spirit box, you know, and they can talk to you in real time. I understand the intrigue, you know, the interest, the obsession with it. I really do. I know, Dave, I know you really like it.
I do. Yeah.
I don't know if you like using it more than I do, or if you think that that's just good to have a 20-25 minute session at the end of an investigation or what, but
what really hooked me on that whole concept was when I did the original shack hack, and then we took it out to the cemetery. And we had an extremely clear, extremely intelligent conversation with an entity that was in the cemetery. Yes. And from that point forward, I was like, this is an absolutely phenomenal. I don't want to say it was a phenomenal piece of equipment. It was a phenomenal way to investigate. It was a phenomenal thing to have that at your fingertips while you were investigating. That's how I feel about it. So, it has its pluses and minuses. Don't get us wrong. It's not like it's the save all, end all. You're going to be on top of the world because you're the best investigator on the planet Earth because you have an SB7. That is not going to be the case. But there's nothing else that you could use that you could have an intelligent conversation if there's an intelligent entity at the location that you're at.
Right. I just want to point out when we were talking with Chris Fleming, who is one of the developers of the original Spirit Box and yep. still developing new Spirit Boxes. And we have found this out too during our investigations is it does not stick with spirits that are in that location.
Nope.
You can have conversations. Well, according to Chris, with any spirit in the world,
right,
as long as that's what they want, as long as they want to talk about it. So if you're going to use it to try and figure out what's going on in a location, Spirit Box is not the way to do it, because you're going to get spirits that aren't even at that location talking
right.
to you.
Right.
It's one of those things you have to really be, cautious with and take it in moderation.
And don't abuse it.
Yeah, please don't abuse it.
Don't abuse it. Don't go and turn it on for two straight hours. Just don't do that. That's just not the way to investigate a location.
100% agree.
Yeah.
All right. That does it for us. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Odyssey Files here on Para X. The Shadows is coming up next as soon as I click off. And hopefully we'll be back next week with the wonderful Elizabeth Saint. So we'll see you then. Have a good night.